Check 1 2 1 2. Check 1 2 1 2. All right, you ready?
He knows. I guess I'll be okay. So we'll see. Three. Once you turn straight, so that way you can get. And you're not gonna be able. You're gonna be able to go back and. Okay, I don't want to hurt your arm because you'll be.
Oh yeah, my arm. Man, we got to worry about that. And every other part of my body, man.
You're right, yeah.
All my appendages are on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1. Hi, everybody. That was well timed.
Let's tell you it's time to start. Time.
3, 2, 1. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another podcast here on Foresight Sports 365, a Coach's Corner. I got to have a partner for this one. As always, Doug Thomas joins me in the room. What do you say, Doug?
Hey, Greg, how are you doing? It's exciting. We have the regular season started. And, you know, what a better way to start than with a big win for Coach Thompson in his first official game as the head coach of South Forsyth.
A big win. And that man is here to talk about it. Coach Thompson, what do you say, man? 1-0.
It's good to win. Even if it's ugly, it's good to win.
We got a lot of things we want to bring forward, and Doug wants to do it kind of chronologically. And the big question that I have will come in a little bit. So, Doug, where do you want to start this?
Well, first I want to say, again, congratulations on the first win, you know, like you said. And what I loved what you just said there, you know, win ugly, you know. But sometimes you have to win ugly, you know, and sometimes you play perfect games and don't win. So that was fantastic to see. But also it makes you understand there's a lot of things you can work on, but you still won a game. But first off, let's take back and start. Just let you talk a little bit about, get your synopsis of the game and everything, but also talk about the difference between the team now, between week one scrimmage, week two scrimmage, and this one that we just had at South Cobb, and then there. And then I also want to talk about the trip down. We'll get into that in a second.
Yeah, we, you know, you come out, we played with East Forsyth first. Mm-hmm. And I think just a lot of excitement, a lot of buildup from the summer, and then, you know, what we're going to look like and expectations and all these things factor in. And we played, I thought, really well in that first game. But as you change opponents, you know, we go to, was it North Springs next? Mm-hmm. North Springs comes here, and then it's kind of, we lost consistency going into North Springs. I felt like we just didn't, it wasn't the same team we were playing at East Forsyth. Mm-hmm. It was North Springs. And then, you know, from there it goes to South Cobb, and it's kind of the same concept. You know, South Cobb is so much improved and you know, very athletic. So it's kind of like, what we need to find, and I've said this from day one, and it's going to be pretty much the mantra of this season, is going to be to find consistency and to find, we're playing ourselves every week. Like, what the scoreboard reflects is what it reflects, but you can be content with the loss as long as you're executing and you're doing the right thing as a team. We haven't found that, and, you know, we got to find consistency, and we've got to just continue to be the best version of ourselves. And, man, I can't explain. As a coach, that's all I want. And, you know, I've said that from day one, like wins and losses or whatever in high school, it's really about that. It's about being consistent and beating, you know, not beating yourselves in front of teams. Doesn't matter the opponent, the approach needs to be the same.
So when you're saying consistency, are you saying that each week you're seeing something different, I mean, out of the team? So versus, like you said, you want the same thing over and over, but maybe one week you're seeing this, 1 month and the next week you're seeing something different out of them, versus like you being, is that what you're talking about?
It's a maturity thing. Mm-hmm. You know, because what it is, you know, we're going to play North Forsyth soon. This is a big game, and now we're going to play at this level, this high level for North Forsyth. Well, we got to play South Cobb. Well, South Cobb, we're going to play this level at South Cobb. They haven't won a game in how long? You know, so that's the problem. It's not. The approach and the attack needs to be at a high level regardless of the opponent. And, I mean, it's not a knock on any team. It's not about that. It's just our views on our opponent shouldn't differ. It should really be our approach to the game needs to be more consistent.
Yeah, so, you know.
And consistency coming to the forefront, let's talk about consistency. You put 30 points on the board all three games. That's pretty consistent right there, huh?
Maybe statistically, but when you go back and look, there's errors there that shouldn't be there. You know, and when you play hard, you make mistakes. That's fine. But, like, what I'm seeing are things that show that you're not learning from the game. And those are what we need to eliminate. And, you know, again, you go back to maturity. Like when you play youth football, it's just about hitting, going out there and running around. Here, it's about learning. Every play, you need to adapt. You know, you need to learn, okay, they did this. This one should look like this. This one, you know, and get better. So when the fourth quarter comes, we can anticipate any adjustment they're throwing at us. I just haven't seen that learning collectively where it should be, where I thought it would be right now.
You know, the other thing too is when you look at it, because you kind of mentioned it about, you know, hey, when you're going to play North Forsyth, you're going to play at this level, another. Yeah, you a lot of teams that you see that happen to that, they maybe play down to their opponent's level versus play to that level of yours. And, like, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for, if you're playing a team that you think you should beat by 60, you want them to play like they're playing the number one team in the country, you know. And so that's, you're right, that's a mindset. And that is that. But it's great that you're trying to instill that in them versus just going, guys, we scored 30-some points, yay, we won. Because when you look back at this game, you can definitely see things that – I guarantee frustrated you. Like, there were a lot of drop passes right in guys' arms that would be key plays and big plays. You had some turnovers, you know. We had an interception because of a drop ball, but we also have a couple of balls that could have been intercepted, you know, and a fumble at a key time. So those are all things, that are definitely focused items. And you think they're losing, like when you see a ball drop like that or a fumble, is it losing focus, or what do you think it is?
I mean, maybe it's luck. You know, that happens sometimes. Maybe it's preparation. Maybe it's focus. There's a lot of things that factor in, and we don't know what it is. The issue is when you know, as a player, when I used to play, it's you have to figure out what the hell the problem is, mm-hmm. so that you can get it fixed internally. And, man, you got to look at everything you did. I'm talking about from Sunday all the way on. Like, what happened in my week that I allowed that to happen? And try to change what you can. Guys, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's football. Like, a lot of this is just luck. And those things happen. Sometimes you drop a pass. But when you see consistent drops like that, mm-hmm. you have to analyze what you do, how you're living, your approach to the game, your approach to practice, your approach to your day. Those things really need to be scrutinized. And so when you look, we had one player that dropped significant amount of passes. So his approach this week, if it's not laser focused, trying to fix that now, I don't know what you think is going to happen. You're going to show up there and flip a switch on Friday. That's not realistic. I mean, it's not realistic with anybody's job, your job, my job, nobody. You can't just suddenly do it. You have to really attack it and really analyze how you're doing this day.
And that's where this is where film also becomes such a big part of it, looking at it. So hopefully you can be able to look and see what somebody is doing. Let's go back a little bit and let's talk about is there an impact, you think, because you look at the whole day. I mean, these kids were in school all day just like the other team was. But the drive down there was significantly longer. It was an hour and 50 minutes to get down there, which means you got down there later than you really wanted to be, which puts you on the field later. Then you start warming up, storm comes in, and we're an hour and 10 minutes delayed. How do you handle that? And do you think those types of things, you know, have an impact as well?
Yeah, you know, we went to Disney with my daughter, and it was the same concept. Like, she kind of, you know, we got there and it was raining. And then we had to sit in a little shelter. And then, you know, by the time we got out there, she just didn't enjoy it. So, yeah, if they're like my 4-year-old daughter, then, yeah, I guess that's what we are, right? We allow other factors to affect us. But if you want to be mature, you want to be a man, I don't care what happens, you know. And then you go back and look at, like, that Super Bowl with the 49ers and the Ravens. Mm-hmm. The lights go out. And then how do you approach that? Like, I mean, you guys remember it. Oh, yeah. To me, I'm like, man, as a competitor, it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, when they turn this on, like, these lights won't save that team, mm-hmm. is a way that you need to approach this. Like, man, if I'm Ray Lewis, I'm looking at the Niners, these lights won't save you. Mm-hmm. I'm coming.
Yeah.
Or is it, oh, no, the lights are off. Mm-hmm. I need to, you know, so how do you see things? How do you view things? And again, man, like, if you want to be a good team, I don't care what it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. We're going to play. You're going to get hurt when you play us. And if that's the approach, we'll have a good team.
You know, you mentioned, like, Ray Lewis. I mean, one of his big things was always like, hey, I'm a certain kind of person every day of my life. But when that helmet goes on, that's like a light switch that turns on. And I become a football player, and I am just macro focused on my job and what I've got to do. You know, well, when you look at the game as a whole and everything, first half, very, very struggle back forth, offense, defense. And I want to talk about the defense of South, because they're playing extremely well. But let's move to right at the end of the half. So there's 12, 13 seconds to go in the half. They punt to us. You get the ball in the 45. All right. So talk about what you had seen, because there was a penalty which they accepted the penalty, and it went back 5 yards. I'll admit, from my side, I was thinking it was a pre-snap penalty, and you could not decline it. But so talk about that. But then I want to talk about, what is it like for a coach when all of a sudden you see that guy just take off around the outside, and when he's about the 45-yard line, you're like, I know nobody's going to catch him. And then what's that mindset of yours there? And then take it into the locker room, because now you got to get a team that's just devastated ready for a second half, which they came out and played like gangbusters.
Well, you know, I believe it was 11 seconds, yeah. Right? And then so we were up, I think, 10-7. And then we just kind of played a really bad first half. So, you know, initially we went safe. We're going to go punt safe. Let's just get this return. If we, you know, if we happen to get a good return, maybe we can do something. If not, we'll go into half. The field position and going into the game, we noticed that the snap was pretty inconsistent with them. So, you know, I debated it for a while. Like, man, should we attack it? Should we return it? And then I said, you know what? Let's go on a half, 10-7. So we said return. Well, I was on the fence with that decision. So here comes the flag. And I said, well, that's an omen, right? So, like, hey, we're going after it. Take the penalty, back them up. Let's go get this punt. Because it's not realistic with 9 seconds, which is what it was. It wasn't realistic from where we were to move the ball in 9 seconds. You have two plays, if that. So the thought was, if we can block it, which was a realistic goal this week, you know, against South Cobb, that was something that – it was actually a probability that we would block it. We could create either a turnover there. Like, you know, we can get it at the 5. Maybe we score. So we went after it. And, like, the thought of – a punter taking the ball 80 yards for a touchdown really didn't enter my head. You know, I don't think it enters many coaches' head like that could possibly happen. Like, okay, fine, he gets it, and then we can get him down, it's half's over. But my gosh, man, like, we had 3 guys off the edge. None of them decided to contain, so we just kind of just – the guy creeps out there, and he's faster than our entire team. I mean, and that kind of goes for the whole South Cobb deal. So
let me tell you something. That dude was up to speed first
he
step.
Quickly.
He was boom. He crossed the line through that hole and just gone midfield before you could even catch your breath and see what was happening.
And we're talking about the punter, you know? So, like, I don't know, man. Like, in my career, that was a first. Like, man, you know, and it just to back it up, I mean, it was a calculated, measured decision. It wasn't emotional. And, damn, I paid for it. But what is the probability? I asked my coaches, like, what are the probabilities that happens? And, like, everyone's like, I have no idea. I'm like, man, this is nuts. So you go into half there. And you're playing what I felt, and I've been saying this, is a trap team who is ultra-talented. The quarterback, I mean, guys, I don't know, like, I'm to
Freedom Jones, by the way, the quarterback.
He's a sophomore. He's long. He can stride. He plays safety for him. And then you're looking at that, like, he could play at any high school in this, you know, in this state.
Throws a great deep ball, too.
Yeah, so, like, they didn't have that last year. So I'm looking at watching film. I'm like, okay. This is a dangerous team. And then there's not really upside if you win because, you know, from the average person looking, you're supposed to beat South Cobb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, so I'm looking at, like, this is the biggest trap game of all trap games. So now you're in, you know, we're in this situation. We're in half down, 10-17-10. And I'm looking around like, holy crap. Like, we might lose it. Mm-hmm. You know, so then, you know, people, I think, the halftime speeches are overrated. Mm-hmm. You know what? You just kind of get the team together, and all of us did, and we sat there and looked at, you know.
Was there a mood, though? Was there kind of a little bit of a just depression coming in?
I don't, you know, again, if you're – I think that the maturity here is coming. It's starting to turn a corner, but we're far from being where we want to be. But to go back to what we're talking about, like, okay, you're winning by 40 at half. Let's play that scenario. So you come in cheering, bouncing off the walls, right? You're down by 40 at half. You come in crying. So what we're saying is, you are like my daughter. Every time something good happens, it's really good. Every time something bad happens, it's really bad. And then so now to go back and, like, I'm trying to beat this into the kids. It doesn't – you're not learning if you're approaching things this way. The next play, I'm going to win. That's the approach, and it's consistent. If you allow these emotions to hijack you, which is what – then you're allowing yourself to be manipulated by someone that can – manipulate you, right? So think about my circumstance doesn't dictate my outcome. My circumstance is my problem. I'm going to solve it as a man. So I'm saying all this to say I saw some maturity there at half. I didn't see heads down, meaning that they're, you know. But I also want to see that same maturity if we're up. If we're up by 40, we're going in at half, it should be the same approach. So I'm still searching for that. Anyways, getting to half, and, you know, it's the same thing. I'm looking around. Everybody's kind of just a little confused. Stunned, yeah. A little confused. And then I kind of beat that into them, you know, after I talked to the coaches about, man, are we doing, you know, what do we need to do? And we made a few adjustments. But, you know, really the adjustment there was like, man, just play. Just continue with the game plan. Because we were killing ourselves on the field. So, again, the message was do your job. You know, there's no way we play four quarters and this team beats us. They bought into that, and then we won. But again, I question even now, like, do they require a halftime speech to win? If they do, like, I don't know, I think I'm failing as a coach. So, like, you need to be able to do this on your own. Really, you know, the words, I think it's overrated. And I think if you're a good coach, you don't have to say anything at half. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I mean, because halftime, you know, you're right. You're talking about the speech and stuff, but it's also about looking and trying to just get with your individual, you know, offense, defense, special teams, whoever, to talk about things that need to be done. And also back to the punt, real quick. You're right. If they're punting from the 50-yard line, your decisions is completely different because then you'd be like, okay, the odds of us taking that and scoring completely different and everything. I tell you what, but one thing I want to talk about. Come out in the second half. And you guys really just take off, but I want to talk a little bit about Braden Hammond and, you know, your running game. Braden Hammond, then you come back with Hudson Rodgers. But Sal's had a lot of good running backs come through, and bigger ones, bigger running backs than him. But I don't think I've ever seen one that is so hard to be taken down on the first hit. He just has that ability. I mean, it's just that natural instinct to lower that shoulder, and he just has that center of gravity. Just keeps him going forward, and his yards after hit is just phenomenal. And, you know, it's just and talk about having a guy like that on your team.
Man, I'm so proud of that kid because when I got here, you know, the concern was his legs would die on contact. His inside, you know, and I coach running backs at UCLA, so, like, my thing was, like, you know, when your inside leg dies on contact, it just shows you're not willing to drive through. A problem he had in the summer was arm tackles were taking him down, which should not exist if you're a hard runner. His style is hard. He's a hard runner. He's not a burner. So, like, he's got to run through arm tackles. And, man, that was, like, a challenge to him back, you know, when I first got here. It's like, you can't play tiptoeing. Like, you have to play full speed downhill. He's taken that since we've been live, full contact with pads. I mean, he's really, like, he's shown a different person. He's kind of stepped up. He runs directly through people now. Mm-hmm. His legs don't die. His inside leg is driving through. And, man, he's so young. Like, he's continually impressing me every day. And because, again, he's a humble kid like the rest of our team. He's a good person. And now he's learning that for him to be successful, this has to be how I do it.
I'm seeing some great vision. Have you worked that with that on him?
I mean, I don't know if you can work it. It's kind of a natural deal. But, like, yeah, the number one quality I believe in a running back is vision. Can you see it? And it looks like he can. I mean, he can find the little creases there. And he does, you know, we run power a lot. We did at South Cobb. You know, that's an A-gaps play. And you watch from, you know, you watch tape before. You watch younger running backs playing the game. They tend to bounce everything, you know, and Hammond's kind of bought into be patient, throttle your speed, find it inside where it's supposed to fit. Most of his successful runs are from him being smart enough to understand the blocking schemes, which is very hard to do when you're so young. So, again, I can't sing enough praise to that kid.
Because that was the next thing I was going to talk about was watching how it seems like he is hitting the holes where they need to be and following those blockers. And following, I mean, following, in the past, you'd see guys, I mean, be like, wait a minute, why didn't you run off this shoulder of the blocker versus you ran right into the teeth of the defense? So you can see that. But what you just said there, I hope all the listeners heard that because we would never know that Braden, you know, maybe when you first started talking, coming to me, he was getting taken down by arm tackling. And that is just a testament to you guys as coaches to be able to pick up on that, understand it, but know how to work with it and make him realize he's got a lot more in him than he had been utilizing. And then you bring in Hudson Rodgers too, you know, which is so nice because then it gives Braden a little bit of a break. And then Hudson comes in and he's got that burst of speed, you know, and everything. So, I mean, it's a nice one-two punch that you have there for sure.
It is. And, you know, and Kingston's coming back in the fold soon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, the future's bright. Like, yeah. I'm excited.
Vincent Vaux, too. Don't leave that kid out, man. He's put up some good numbers.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Late in the game.
I really like that core. Mm-hmm. You know, Jerry's done a good job kind of developing him. So, you know, I'm excited for that. And, guys, I've been a head coach of teams. I've done this a long time. So, like, there's been teams where you kind of, at this point in the year, you're kind of like, man, we got to go to practice again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm genuinely excited to see these kids because we've done nothing but grow.
Yeah.
As a team, as people, man, it's just fun to be out there. To watch Hammond like that is crazy. And mm-hmm. Huddy's got a long way to go, but his ability,
The ceiling is high on Hudson Rodgers. It is.
I mean, Cordell, we kind of championed the number 10, and Cordell gave it to Huddy because of what he's shown he can do. So now if he can get the other side of it like Braden does, mm-hmm. as far as the running, the understanding the schemes, fronts, all that stuff, dude, he's going to be one of the best players in the state when he's done.
They're young. Both
again,
of them are young.
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. So, like, mm-hmm. it's fun, man. This is going to be awesome to see.
You know, and the other thing, too, is what's nice, both these guys can catch out of the backfield, too, which is really fantastic. All right, let's move to the defensive side of the ball because, wow, impressive, you know, the front line, everything. Now, things that I'm sure you weren't happy with. We did get beat on some deep balls there. And so I'm curious of what, if you felt that, because the one thing the quarterback, let's face it, first thing he did off the bat was start fake handoffs and start running. He was just doing a lot of misconception or whatever you want to call it, but, you know, trying to confuse the offense. And all of a sudden you get used to that and your guys kind of look up into the backfield. Next thing you know, you're beat deep. So we'll talk about that. But I tell you two guys I want to talk about that seem like they have such a great chemistry at linebacker, and that's Callum McGilvery and Luke Bronner. And first off, I mean, those guys come like rockets. They do. I got to admit, I didn't realize Luke Bronner was that quick and that fast. But some great, I mean, if you look at some of the plays both of these guys had, you know, not, you know, and everything, and it's just fantastic to see. But like I said, they just seem like they have a great chemistry and know what each other is doing. I know they're best friends and grew up together and all that. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Even I don't know where Luke Bronner came from. Like, it's been yeah. It's been awesome to see. You know, we went to kind of the inside there. We went to an FCA camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids, you know, it's not just ball. You get to kind of speak and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So we learned so much from Luke. And I just felt like we left that camp a lot closer as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize what Luke was capable of. Mm-hmm. But and he's so humble. He didn't enforce the issue. And how many kids nowadays, how come you're not playing? How, you know, why aren't you playing me? I need to, you know, it's about them. It's about them. Luke is about the team.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was called upon, it was like he made a play. He's like, okay, well, let's leave him in. And then he makes another play. And then it's the same concept. And it keeps growing. I'm like, where did this kid come from? You know, and then now we're playing. We're talking about him like he's legitimately maybe one of the best linebackers in the county, mm-hmm. along with Callum. We know Callum.
Oh, yeah.
And you see Callum coming, he's like a hurricane.
Yeah.
Luke is like a tornado. Yeah. He just popped up out of nowhere and just devastating things. So, like, it's really cool. We've got, like, natural disasters on as linebackers. You know, we should probably theme that. But, yeah, it's been awesome to watch.
Let's talk about that defense coming out of the locker room, because you had great success defensively in the second half in all three of your ball games. You really put, in this case, you shut them out again. And I think, you know, there's got to be some kind of focus because they were flying all over the field in the first half. And the second half, you came out, you seemed a little more prepared for that, a little kind of leaning toward what you might expect out of it. But it was successful throughout the half. And that was very impressive, I thought, for the defense to come out and step up against that offense that it had some moments.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I'm proud of them. But again, we lost contain so many times. Like you said, the deep balls got thrown over us, and there was a lot of inconsistency. So I'll tell you guys my message to the team right after the game, and then even this week, is individually, we probably had the worst performances I've ever coached in that game. So, like, you went go down the line, it's like this kid was played terrible. This kid played bad. This kid played bad. But collectively as a team, they found a way. Mm-hmm. So there's very a lot of good there.
The sum is greater than the parts. Is that correct. The old adage correct, you're going correct, for right correct. There?
But, like, individually, this week, the challenge is you've got to stop that because you can't win consistently like that. Like, you just cannot. So we've got to eliminate and do our job more effectively. And, you know, by player, by player, by player. And I tell you what, everybody graded this week pretty bad, but the game was won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, like you talked about, I mean, it's just one of those games. It's winning ugly. You see it at every level. It happens. You wonder why it does, but at least you won ugly. I also want to talk about the special teams, too, because what I want to talk about there is your return guys. They go 1,000 miles an hour. I mean, who do we have? We have J.J. Edwards. We have Carter Ross, Oliver Starr. I mean, I watched J.J. Edwards take a couple kickoffs and just – I'm like, okay, if he gets hit, he might get killed because he's going so hard. All of them are. And then you fast forward to how smart was it – I mean, you don't like seeing a snap go high on an extra point because that can cost you a game. But what I loved about it, he got the snap. He still put it down. Now, I would have liked to see your kicker still go through because he might have – he'd just say, you know, hey, kicker's got to – his job is go through. If the ball's not there, then it's not your fault. But then for him to take that ball and to pick it up and head to that – the corner of the end zone to get the 2 points was fantastic. But so I know things still to work on with special teams, but, man, they just go hard.
No kidding. And, you know, you're talking about J.J., and he's fast, man. Yeah. And he's – again, these guys, they puncture. Mm-hmm. They go. They're the hammer. You know, when they're running the ball. So, like, Oliver's that way. Mm-hmm. Ethan is that way. These kids just run with, like, kind of no concern for their body. That's what you want. That's football, man. That's what this game is. It's like you just got to go. And it's fun to see that. That same mentality sometimes gets you. Mm-hmm. You know, it gets you hurt at corner sometimes. It gets you hurt at safety. You bite. So understanding how to channel that is kind of where we're at right now with all three of those guys. I think, I mean, obviously we're going to get there at some point. Hopefully it's Friday, then we come out winning. If it's not, then it'll be whenever we do figure it out. But to have guys that are just, I'm going to go make a play, that's what you want as a coach.
How do you approach and teach? It just made me think when you said one thing there. How approach do you teach when you have a quarterback you're playing against that is a running quarterback? How do you keep your corners and everybody that, you know, from looking that extra second in the backfield and then getting and realizing, oh, my guy just went by me? What's the technique? How do you teach that?
You don't, bro. Like, that's kind of the thing, Doug, is like, you don't. I could lie to you and say there's like some coaching technique. We beat this down into the kids all week leading up to that game. And it's like, look, you're not talented enough. And I don't mean, it's not a knock. It's just understand, self-awareness is big. You can't peak. We are, the receiver in front of you is more than enough for you to handle. So just focus there. You know, and then when you're in quarters coverage, like, you know, you want to get back into a point, but understanding when this receiver is about to get to the breaking point, this is repetition. Mm-hmm. So this is experience that kicks in there. Like, we do rep it, but I mean, like, how does that carry over? Until they see those kids running full speed, you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The hope is they played South Cobb. We saw it there. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be fixed this week at Campbell, who's got the same kind of speed?
Yeah. Well, Campbell, yeah, speaking of that, let's just move right into it. So Campbell, a team that came in here last year, and I mean, squad, I don't have exact, but it was 40-something to 7 or whatever.
They had a little more size.
Yeah, they did.
Than South Cobb, and I expect that again this year. They've graduated some kids, but I expect that size factor is going to be part of it.
More discipline, more organized, more like you see them coming. You know, and that's why South Cobb was so scary because, like, I knew it because I watched film, but no one else, everyone thought that we were going to walk over them. Mm-hmm. This one, you see it coming. The kids, I think, are focused a little bit more because they see it coming. But, like, again, it goes back to your approach. Like, does it matter?
Does it matter who you're
playing? Should it matter? And then, you know, if it does, then that's the problem. You know, we got to figure that out as a team.
So, talk just real quick, and then, talk about their offense. What type of offense do they run, and what type of defense do they run? And like I said, I agree with you. I expect to see where South Cobb was greatly improved from last year. I expect to see a much tougher opponent in Campbell this week.
Absolutely. You know, Campbell's going to be, you know, they're disciplined, like I said, and they've got more of a scheme. They got a quarterback there that runs more controlled, and he'd throw from the pocket as well. So he's deceptively fast. You know, that's going to be some. That's going to be a challenge for us. So the whole team's going to be a challenge. But again, to me, man, it sounds like coach talk, but I can't be more honest with you guys. Like, we're just playing ourselves again out there. Let's see what happens. Like, the scoreboard's whatever. You know, we're going to have them in the right positions. I think you guys see that. Mm-hmm. Now it's about, can you do your job consistently enough, and can one of our kids make a few enough plays for us to win? So, you know, for me as a coach, like, man, it's going to be the same. I don't get we're playing the damn Dolphins. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're going to approach it the same, and it's going to end up – the result's going to be what it is how do we respond to the circumstances we're given.
You know, one thing, too, that I didn't talk about on offense, and I have to go back, is just – what I love, too, that you guys are doing is you're looking at your opponent, and you're not just running the same offense every single time against you know, the different teams. Like you said, I mean, probably in this game, I mean, I don't know the percentage, but it looked like 70% of the snaps were under center, which is completely different, you know, which is so nice to see, because you obviously saw something with South Cobb and that defense. But the other one that I got to admit, and Greg knows I made a big deal out of this, because I don't like being fooled. I hate it. It normally doesn't happen, but I don't know if it was the third quarter or what, but all of a sudden we're there. What I thought was a handoff to Braden Hammond off the left side, and I'm watching him. I'm like, this is the weirdest looking run I've ever seen. I got Callum McGilvery next to him. He's not blocking anybody. I'm like, what is wrong? Then I see Will take all the way around the outside, streaking like a lightning bolt for a touchdown. That was a fantastic fake. It got me completely. And so what a play. But I don't know who called it, but it worked extremely well. You obviously saw something that you said, this is time to pull the trigger on that one.
Well, you're dropping balls, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, okay, you got that. It's like, man, this is a cursed night passing. Mm-hmm. And then you got, well, there comes a point where you can load a box and lining up in, you know, 21 personnel and running power. Like, that dies too. So then the thing is, in these kind of situations, do you have something else? What are you going to? And for us, it was, man, let's see what we can do with Will moving a little bit. You know, so we put in a little, you know, you call it a zone read, like these new guys, it's inside veer. Like, you know, so we're running a little bit of old school football, just making it look new and getting Will on the perimeter. So as a staff, just to have another answer, you could say. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, if that was shut down, I'm not sure. Like, at that point, I got to throw – at some point, I'm throwing my hands up. Like, you know, but, you know, that was really cool to see it go to that. And then now, with the effectiveness of this, now we're opening up the other two. And, you know, so then now we're playing football. But, yeah, man, to get Will moving and doing what he can do outside, which we know he's capable of, it is really good. But then you can look back at our other games. Like, East Forsyth, it was, like, a completely different offense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and then – North Springs, same thing. So we're going to do – that's what a pro scheme allows you to do, is, like, do what is necessary.
Yeah. The other thing I got to – I know Greg loves it as well, is your short yardage, you know, when you need a yard, yard and a half, and, I mean
– so the damn wishbone, I mean, man.
You got your line. You got your line that are feet to feet. They are touching. You got your guys in the backfield, you know, that. And it almost looks like you're – I keep calling it – it looks like you're setting up, like, the Philadelphia Eagles tush-push, but then you don't – but you do the handoff. But great consistency on that, and we love watching that when that one comes up.
Yeah, man. You know, again, go back to, like, past experience. We played Stanford, and man, they line up this thing. They had their face mask 1 inch off the ground, and then it's like, you know, we're all in the room, like, what do you know? And then it's kind of like, pray. I don't know what to do. You just pray at this point, because we know what's coming. It's just going to be man to man. You know, can you impose your will? You know, that's not always the best call, right? Like, when it gets stopped, you look really stupid. And it happened in the game. We got stopped.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that it's more of a mentality that, like, we're going to do this. Stop us.
And one thing on the heels of that I noticed throughout the second half, guys were making mistakes. There was an error here, an error there. But there were kids stepping up, making plays. At every level, at every position, kids were bringing it, especially on defense. And that second half was really well played. And it always seems like it was somebody else. You had your key players that were in there really mucking it up, you know, like they're supposed to do. But somebody would step up and block a, you know, disrupt a pass. Or somebody would step up and maybe get a sack, tackle in the backfield. Everybody's trying to make the play. And I think that's – when you got everybody pulling on the rope like that, that's effective.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, well, we're looking forward to Friday night. But before Friday night, there's more football because we have the JV is kicking off here at home against Denmark, I believe, at 6 p.m. And then I know that the freshman.
Let's real quick on the heels of that. You got a JV team this year. How about that? You got some more players, huh?
That's the real win, guys.
So, yeah, that's it.
We got three programs here. We got a freshman JV and varsity.
Yeah, and then I know there's going to be, I think, about four JV games at home. And the freshmen have more on the road as well. But they kick off. With you know, the new head coach Jared Honey there, and I'm sorry, I forget who they play. Are they playing who they playing on as well? They playing Denmark at Denmark. Is it who they are? I can't remember the freshmen are playing, but they both kick off. But like I said, freshmen are on the road. JV will be here at home at 6 o'clock, and then we will head to another. Hopefully the drive is better because it's within 8 miles of where we were.
There is no easy way to get to Smyrna, so we're just going to find out what he wants to do, and we're going to follow it, right?
Oh, my gosh. That's exactly – yeah, that's all I do. That's all I can do. I don't know what we did without Waze, because I tell you what, I don't know where we were on some of those. We went through 2 one-lane covered bridges in Concord Historic District or something. So.
Coach Thompson, final word.
Go War Eagles, some kind of. Yeah, but no. Thanks, guys, man. I love you guys coming in. Yeah. This is fun.
We appreciate you having you. Thanks so much, Doug.
It's exciting. Looking forward. Like I said, I look forward to what we've already seen, but looking forward to this week and before and going forward, because this is definitely going to be even a bigger test for the War Eagles.
Kids are ready to add on, and we'll be there for you. Friday night, we'll start at 7. Kickoff's at 7:30. It's at Campbell. So if you can't make it down, make sure you tune in to Forsyth Sports 365. For Coach James Thompson, for Doug Thomas, I'm Greg Golden. Thanks for joining us. See you Friday night.